Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. So how is it? How are your liberties enjoying this current environment? Or how are you enjoying the lack of liberties that you have? It's only going to get worse. And as a matter of fact, I had an interesting conversation with Douglas V. Gibbs last night. We both agreed that there's way too many people that are kowtowing to, and this has everything to do with the lack of understanding of constitutional rights. Even conservatives are misunderstanding constitutional rights because there's way too many conservatives that are, I'll just consider them in the anarchy mode, that the government can't create laws. The government has no ability to infringe upon any of your rights ever at all. And it saddens me to, you know, for people to really buy into this fact of, you know, that your state government and your county governments don't have the ability to govern in ways that you have delegated to them, because we're completely oblivious to the fact that we've either delegated to our state governments general or enumerated powers to do things that sometimes when they do them, we're not very happy about it. Fact of the matter is, they do have those powers. The design of this system was that the federal government was constrained. And the problem is that the federal government is mandating a lot of these things and have forced the states to actually do some of these things. This is why we need wholesale demanding compliance. We all need to start demanding compliance. For you to understand what that means, you have to understand the Constitution. You have to understand the fundamental principles. This is why we go through this stuff over and over and over again. You're more than welcome to download the podcast, but I believe it is imperative that I have to repeat these types of things. And when I say repeat, I've gone through this same material several times. So I've read through the ratification debates a few times. I've read through these other founding documents a few times. But the point of the matter is that even though I've gone through them, I put a different spin on them, and I know over time, eventually, I'm going to put it in a perspective that it finally sinks in for you. Some of us have to see it or hear it a certain way so that it, that makes sense. I mean, how many times has your spouse, male or female, if you know, your husband or wife, has told you something and told you something, and then somebody that you know has told you something, but they told it to you a little bit different. And then you go back and you tell your wife, hey, so-and-so said this. And then they just slap you upside the head and say, I've been telling you that for a long time. We tend to marginalize the messenger. We tend to not see things or objectively look at things the way we should be when we're talking to those who we know really well. And sometimes it takes a complete stranger to state the exact same thing for it to finally sink in and go, wow. So anyway, what we're going to get into today is we're going to get into republicanism, scale of liberty. We're going to start off with some basics, and we're going to build upon that. We're going to get into natural law. We're going to just kind of cover these basic fundamental principles to lay out what the framers had given us. And I cannot emphasize enough the importance in the balances and separations of powers, the checks and balances that are integral and throughout the Constitution and the relationship of the people and the different polities or the different types of governments, from local governments to state governments to federal governments. There has been, and the framers were, definitely divinely inspired, to create all of these different levels of checks and balances to make sure or to help us have mechanisms to try to protect us from federal tyranny. So apparently they did a pretty decent job, but the fact is our education system has been the one that has been undermining us. And that's just because of the curriculum. That's because they understand that if they can educate you to become a lemming, you will run off the cliff. And so anyway, this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is still the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions necessary in getting our liberties back and restoring our constitutional republic. I like to ask the question, and I just want you to ponder, are you a part of the problem? Because 9 times out of 10, when people hear that, they go, "No, I can't be a part of the problem. I'm a good guy." Actually, you are. 9 times out of 10, you're not really contributing to the solution. You are really more in, I would just say you're more in line with those who are contributing to the problem. And so with that, I want you to continue to ponder what you can do in contributing to the solution instead of contributing to the problem. Now, I will be having an interview with Lionheart this week, and I'm hoping to get back to Brent Winters, Trevor Lawton, and some of these other folks. That way we can have some unique perspective as to the problem du jour, the problem of this year, and the direction we're going, get their insights and so forth. I'm hoping that you enjoyed your day of prayer and your fasting and all of that for the weekend, and that hopefully you've found some solace. Hopefully you found some resonating conviction of what needs to be done. I cannot emphasize the importance of understanding the scale of liberty. And that's because you have to understand where you stand and where other people stand. And I'll get into that shortly. We've got a listener drive, so if you know people that are like-minded, introduce them to the content. What else are they doing Monday through Friday? What else are they doing through the week other than, you know, not getting informed, not getting exposed to, you know, the solution and so forth? Help become a part of the solution, because the more people that understand, well, really, it's that simple. I don't care. I realize that it gets boring to kind of go through some of these things over and over and over again. You're more than welcome to send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You're more than welcome to call and make a comment, 425-270-5416. If you want to make that phone call, if you want to, connect with me and let me know, hey, what about this or what about that? If you're a leader, if you're getting involved, let's have a conversation. We'll even put you on the air regarding what you can be doing and how you can be contributing in your county and in your state and so forth. We are, let's just say, because I don't do these shows live, and I apologize for that. We're going to probably start, I want to get moved into a time slot where we can really do a live show. Because at this time of day, for most people, and even for myself, it's just been really hard to be able to do that. I'm hoping to get to that point where we can get back to doing live shows so that you can actually call in. I do know that when you've got, even with the size of a listener base that I have, there's just a lot of people that don't want to call. They're just afraid to say something stupid, and nobody wants to be made, you know, or at least have it be known, you know, because once we're finished with this show, it goes on the internet, and somebody can ever forever listen to that part and actually repeat it, or, you know, make fun of you. And I get it, but there's no such thing as a dumb question, and there's no such thing as, you know, it is not bad. It is not inappropriate to getting involved, asking a question, and trying to get better clarity behind something. With that, please, again, extend an invite out to those like-minded friends and even those who, you know, are either on the fence or towards the side of the Democrats or the subjugationists or what have you. What we want to do is we want to actually, you know, help get you engaged with those public servants. So that's why this show was really focused on those those public servants, which are state legislators, your county legislators, those people who can actually start getting involved and getting the ball rolling and moving in the right direction. I do know that the National Liberty Alliance has other tactical focus, and there's other groups out there that have different tactical focuses in the political arena. It's really sad considering how many people are involved in all of these different arenas, and it's, you know, all they've got to do is back out and go, you know, because they all agree that our problem is that we're not complying to the Constitution. Non-compliance of the Constitution is our number one problem, and it will be our demise unless we actually address this head on. With that, we will be back after these two promos. So please stand by, and we'll be getting into more on the legislatures and republicanism right after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so here is the one unique thing about this year. I know we kind of do a level of redundancy. We kind of repeat things. But here's the unique thing about this year. And every other year, it's an election year. So one of the things is I'm not only going to just have these interviews, but I'm going to try to get state legislators to come on board, to actually come in and talk. And I want them to speak about their positions. What I hope you will find is that there are state legislators out there that actually want to get government, state, county, and more importantly, the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. Once they start realizing, see, the reason why we have such crappy state legislators, and believe me, I deal with what I would consider conservative state legislators, and I don't want to get into it. I will get into it later on, this direct banter I had with a retiring state legislator out of South Dakota. This guy's a pompous blowhard, if that's a better word. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, here are these people that think that they're staunch conservatives. They're doing all these great conservative things, but they're not doing anything, and they're standing idly by while the Constitution is being trampled upon, while the United States is witnessing the ripping away of our liberties. Then I'm telling you right now that here is the opportunity, even for a retiring state legislator who wants to claim to be a constitutional, you know, champion, a person that is fighting for everybody's liberties. Here is an opportunity to stand up and call all these state government officials and anybody and everybody who is supporting these stay-home orders and these shutting downs of businesses, all of this unconstitutional levying of government. Here is their opportunity to prove that they actually stand for the Constitution. But instead, this, and I'll get into that later. Like I said, I don't want to focus on the myopic view of, you know, how these guys see themselves. And it makes me sick to understand that they're the problems. And the problem that I can't articulate well enough, apparently, is why are you not challenging these people? You know, all we need is enough people to actually start standing up in these different state legislative positions and go, bottom line, this guy's failed. This guy is not going to get it. This gal is not going to get it. It doesn't matter if they're a nice guy or not. Nice guys, it's not a popularity contest. Either you are supporting the Constitution per your oath, which you're required to do, or you're violating the Constitution. And I get involved in these types of conversations all the time. And every once in a while, I get involved with these sovereign citizens that are just way out there. Bottom line, we need to get these state legislators in. I want you to start hearing their views, their positions, so that we can have these conversations after the fact and pointing out, you know, here's another person that seems like a really nice person, but they're not being challenged. And they're just going to continue to do what they think is good for the party, good for their constituents. Yeah, we're going to bring home some federal money so that you can have some jobs. That's not their job. The reason that they're fighting for those types of, you know, little crumbs from the federal government is because the federal government has taken away your ability to actually do things with the resources that you actually own in your state. Whether they be the minerals, whether they be, you know, growing or producing some type of products, the federal government's not letting you do that. They're constraining you. As a matter of fact, when it comes to agriculture and agricultural products from the United States, we have been downplayed. They have moved all of the agricultural productivity to South America and other parts of the world. You know, when I buy some of my peppers, they come from Europe. Europe. Why am I buying peppers from our grocery store that aren't coming from the United States? It's because they've made these deals to make sure that we're sharing our wealth and spreading it around more openly. And this is to our own demise, my friends. They are trying to create a world of socialism, and whether we like it or not, that's the direction that they're going to continue to push us into. You have to take a stand. You have to become a part of the solution. Either that, or you are going to rue the day. If you're not ruining the day right now, if you are not in a position where you are just absolutely upset, frustrated because you can't do things, then okay, I guess there's nothing that's going to get you upset, and you're probably not even listening to this show, because I really don't believe that the people that are listening to this show are marginalizing anything. And so hopefully what I'm doing here is I'm giving you good arguments to poke some of your friends that are pacifists, that are pathetic in, you know, caring or doing something. They're more than happy to complain, but they just don't want to do anything. And you can poke them in the eye and just call them a part of the problem. And finally get them so mad that they finally get up and get involved. Because that's what we've got to do. We've got to get people to that point to say, I'm not going to take this anymore. Kind of like that old stupid, 70s, I forget the name of the movie. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Anyway, we want you to understand these legislative positions. That's why we're going to put them on. We do not care about Congress races. I care about my local Congress race, and I would like to see the Republican that is representing me replaced, and I would rather see a Democrat replace that person so that that person gets the message, because this is a stronghold of Republicans, and that person would definitely get the message that, you know what, you've totally failed, and they would rather see the enemy in just so that they can replace that enemy in 2 years, because we will do that. If we can't get the party to do its job, because there's 7 counties in our congressional district, I believe it's seven. And if we can't get these 7 county chairs to agree that we have terrible representation, that we've got to do something about it, it doesn't matter how senior that person is. I really don't care. If that person is not representing us, then we need, and that's why Republicanism, that's why we're going to dive into Republicanism. What is Republicanism? It's a representative government. And what are they supposed to represent? It's not supposed to be to represent my interest. It's supposed to be representing the interests of the Constitution. That's why they have to take an oath. They don't take an oath to represent, you know, your job or represent money coming to you. That's not their job. The first thing they have to take an oath is that they will support and defend the Constitution. In some states, support, defend, and obey the Constitution. So this is why, you know, having them on every other year during these types of elections, as we move towards the election time, we're hoping to have a few of them, hoping to get more and more so that you can start hearing these positions. And we're just going to talk about the primary issues. And we're going to recognize, or I'm going to get them to recognize, that what is more important than overreach? Because what they have just done with this overreach, with the stay at home and shutting down our economy, is pushing us towards the Stone Age in comparison to the rest of the world. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to try to find those who are willing to commit to protecting all of us from government tyranny at every level. Okay? And in doing so, I'm hoping that you will find it in your hearts to contribute to these, especially these champions in these red states that are challenging rhinos. We definitely want to support these people that are challenging rhinos. So we will be getting involved in some of these races as we come up, and we're going to have some of these folks come on. And I'm hoping that the folks that we do bring on, you will be inspired to help them, whether that be $10, $15, $20, $50, whatever you can probably provide. It would be greatly appreciated. And that's what we need to do. We need to start supporting those who are willing to commit to protecting us. Because if not, then we're fair game. The government is going to continue to do this crap to us. Anyway, there's one way you can support us. We've got Red State Coffee. There's another way you can support us with our GoFundMe a campaign out on GoFundMe. I just want to say this. Our liberty requires everyone's support and assistance. It doesn't just require GR and a few people that are, you know, mad as heck. And what we need to do is really start breaking down the percentages. And you need to start looking at the percentages of the population. What is 1 million people? It's not even 1% anymore. But if we get 1 million people mad enough to start demanding compliance, that starts resonating. I mean, a million people pounding on the desk, all in synchronous, you know, timing and everything else across the nation, might actually carry some thump, thump, thumps to other people going, what the heck's that? What the heck's going on? I'm hearing something. And what I'm hearing now is it's time for our next break. So we will be right back after this, diving into, finally we'll get into republicanism, the scale of liberty, and so forth. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Folks, to be honest, if you have time, if you've got a little time in the day, if you've got a computer, if you're computer literate, and you can understand how to, you know, maybe do batch files, manage a database, or manage spreadsheets and, you know, filtering information and so forth. If you have that type of literacy, you can get involved. You can actually help. Just let us know, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will get you engaged. There's plenty of opportunities. I'm not going to be doing this for the states anymore. My focus right now is trying to finish what we're trying to do in Wyoming. Because if we don't get a David to stand up against Goliath soon, we're hosed. We are hosed because they're that much closer and closer as they're tasting victory right now. Look at how many people are obeying as sheeple. Anyway. As we move forward, I just want you to understand that you can contribute if you want to. Thank you for tuning in. And there's a bunch of things and a bunch of shows we're going to get into eventually. Hey, Constitution Day is coming around the corner. In my conversation with Douglas V. Gibbs, he told me that he is looking to have his Constitution Association dinner celebration, which I love the fact that he's finally doing this. Because he used to do it in July. he is now centering that Constitution Day dinner on the Constitution. So he's going to be doing, I believe that this coming year, it'll be September 19th, which is right there in Constitution Week. It's 2 days after the signing of the Constitution. But still, that's far better than doing it in July, because now it's tied directly to that. And that's what we need to do. We need to start having recognition towards the Constitution and that the importance of the fact that it was signed by these men and then ratified by the states. That's why one of the things that you should also do is you should start harping on, if you don't know, I believe it's on my website, go to, I think it's MobiusStripPress.com. If it's not, it may be on Reclaiming the Republic, but I know it's there. We have put down what day your state became a shareholder in this Constitution. In other words, the day it became a part of the Union, its birth date. And you should be celebrating your state's birth as a part of this Union. Anyway, let me just get into this too. We need to emphasize, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to be having representatives coming on board. I want them to use their time in, you know, formally making, if they want to write it down and then they can come on and read what they want to say, this is the platform. I want them to come and make a formal statement as to their views of unconstitutional government. Who knows? They may think this is a good thing. They may actually be supporting that. And I want you to hear it. And I want you to understand what they're saying. So let's start off with, and I know we kind of covered this before, but I want to talk about the scale of liberty. The liberty scale is literally that. It's just a slow winding, or not even winding, a ratcheting or a step incremental scale that goes from full liberty to full slavery. A person doesn't become you just don't go from embracing full liberty and then embracing enslavement. It's an incremental process. Now, what happens is a lot of times when people get old, you know, they start thinking, well, we ought to have a law to keep you from that. We ought to, stop, people from doing some of these things. Maybe freedom isn't what it's, it counts to be. And in some respects, that is how it is portrayed to the kids today, that old people are the ones that want to restrict you. Well, there's a little wisdom in that, right? There's wisdom in driving in between the lines and not going across those lines when you're on the road. You know, a person that advocates freedom and being able to, drive where you want to, drive in the other lane if you want, then is no longer practicing, the good safety, because we have these standards. We have this process. Now, there has been this talk about, and I forget what it's called. It's called like community compliance. If you just, all of a sudden, you get a bunch of people that go to a skating rink or down to the pond, they all eventually, and it's kind of like random order, people just start all flowing in the same direction in skating in a circle. Instead of everybody continually going the direction that they don't want to go, because nobody wants to run into people. There are those few that want to cause that friction. They want to cause that, that disturbance. And there are those that do that. And it's kind of like, I guess it's called spontaneous order. I forget what it's called, but anyway, the point is that there are those people that want to go against the grain, but most people, they just want to be able to enjoy the pastime of ice skating or, participating in this or that. That's why they work together, so that they avoid the conflict, so they avoid those frictions and so forth. Understanding the scale of liberty will help you understand the level of objectivity of a person. And the reason I say that is the greater a person is on the scale of liberty, then, the more that you embrace liberty, the more likely you are in accepting somebody's, you know, different view and or accepting somebody thinking differently. Now, the more you gravitate towards the black side, the dark side, or the subjugation and enslavement side, the less likely you are to tolerate anybody's thinking differently. And as a matter of fact, those who are on the extreme of enslavement believe compulsion and force is necessary to get the outcome that they believe is necessary. In contrast to those people on the other end, on the side of liberty, they believe it's okay for people to exist that think absolute opposite of you. And they, you know, subscribe to this concept of, well, we can just agree to disagree. When you hear a person on the subjugation side, when you know you hear a liberal, a person that believes in socialism, communism, compulsion, those types of things, if you hear them say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree, what they have just told you is they have just told you that they have not been able to establish a irrefutable argument or overcome you. They cannot beat you yet. And so they will use that position to obtain tolerance from you until they can compel you or force you or put you in a position where you finally say, okay. 9 times out of 10, they realize that, especially if you have a well-founded position and argument, they will walk away, but that you will still be their enemy because they know you will never go along with compulsion. You'll never go along with forcing somebody to think, behave, and be any certain way other than your own way of conscience. And anybody that believes in liberty believes that compulsion is immoral. The government has no rights and has no function in forcing people to do something that they shouldn't be doing. Okay? Now, those on the side of liberty are those that want you to be free to think and do what you believe is best for you. When this paradigm ran the education system so that you were free to think what is best for you, that was when academia was free, when people actually, you know, could go off on these tangents and bring in these outlandish arguments. Nowadays, you will find that academia is no longer free because there are certain topics that you can't even discuss. There are certain subjects that are forbidden, which means that academia is no longer free. Academia wants full control over the narrative, and you will think and speak their way. In other words, academia has gone from a free petri dish of ideas to a forced mold of this is how you will think, this is how things are to be processed. Here is something that I want you to ponder. Everybody understands what blue laws are, and everybody understands what state control is. What's the difference? What is the difference between state controls and blue laws? Well, I'll answer that for you. So blue laws are laws that have been created based on the desires of the people. State control is where the state has usurped and taken away the rights of the people and have obtained control. You can have a blue law regarding alcohol, not selling alcohol on the Sabbath, not, you know, having a dry state or what have you. Almost all states do not allow drug consumption and drug use, and now we're seeing that some states are allowing the consumption of marijuana because they're finally saying, you know what, we might as well start taxing this because people are still, they've been using it for 40, 50 years now, and we're not going to stop it. We will get back into this conversation when we come right back We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Just so you understand that in looking at blue laws and state laws and the state control, when the state shuts down and they keep you from being able to do things. Now, some of those things may be good and some of those things may be very noble that the state does. And even on the side of blue laws are intended to try to apply kind of like a moral code that we shouldn't be getting drunk on the Sabbath, those types of things. But there is a night and day difference between state control, because once state starts assuming general authorities, general powers, this is where you will find that the state becomes more tyrannical. When the federal government starts obtaining those types of powers, then they have, let's just call it the ultimate in tyranny and despotism, because they will use whatever force, and they have a tremendous amount of force, military and so forth, to be able to inflict upon you, the bystander, you, the average citizen. So as we try to cover all of this stuff, you'll start realizing that there are differences between we, the people, actually trying to improve. You know, it's like the theory I'm putting out, that we do have, and it is only logical that we as a society try to create safety standards. You know, you can't drive that car with bald tires. That car has to have functioning brakes. If not, there are consequences, and we all know the consequences could be bad. Okay, so you lucked out and you swerved and you hit a tree instead of killing a bunch of people. It's the same thing with the fact that you could have a contagion that could harm people. And putting it into light of today with this whole irrational infliction of tyranny in suspending our constitutional rights. The people on the side of subjugation are those in education who want to control every facet of the topics and will not allow academia to be free. And they pose much of a problem for them and their controls on the narrative of society. In other words, these are the things we will talk about, and these are the ways we are going to approach these issues. They will not allow you to personalize, to actually allow that fetus, that unborn baby, to be a human. That's why they call it a fetus. I ask you to look at science and nature. Does one not see the opposites abound? When we start looking at, just on the scale of liberty, we look at liberty and subjugation. These are absolute opposites, right? They're polar opposites. There are opposites throughout life in a natural setting, whether that be positive and negative. At the nuclear level, the proton and the neutron. Or the magnetic level, right? The positive and negative of magneticism and magnetic power, magnetic force. There's hot and cold. There's two ends of that spectrum of heat. There's day and night. There's male and female. There's justice and injustice. There's bitter and there's sweet. There are extreme ends throughout life. And then there's always that dish that throws everybody off, the sweet and sour pork. Anyway, opposites not only abound in our reality, but there are ranges of these, like the scale of liberty, from high frequencies to low frequencies, or in the electromagnetic spectrum, has polar opposites in frequencies as well. Even the opposites of sound have opposite characteristics. The high frequencies are very directional, very reflective. The low frequencies are omnidirectional and less reflective. In the big picture, the universe, our world, is dependent upon opposites, or maybe better stated, is built upon these opposites. I'm here to tell you that the idea of liberty acknowledges and embraces the opposites. It embraces the concept of good and evil. On the opposite end, it denies the other existence. In other words, on the evil end, it denies that it is evil, that everything is good. It denies the fact of, your ability to choose. They look at things in an unnatural way. As one looks at the universe and space, two distinctive opposites are stars that provide energy and black holes that consume energy. One feeds life and the other destroys it. Now, I ask that you consider the concept of tolerance and forbearance. The liberty end is where one finds these traits. In other words, in the scale of liberty, it's on the liberty side where you will find these traits, these concepts being applied of tolerance and forbearance. On the opposite end, the end of subjugation, this is the side where one finds intolerance and the demand of control and compulsion. Just like the spectrum of sonic frequencies, one will find that each side is hardwired with the opposite characteristics. This is basically coming right down to the fundamental scientific law. The person that is predisposed. This is probably the most important thing because I'm running out of time. The person that is on the far end of subjugation, they are not capable of being objective. This is what it all boils down to. When you start having an objective discussion or an objective argument, some of those people that you may think are actually, a person on the side of liberty, Come to find out, they're really not. Come to find out, they may have a position facing liberty, but they're standing in a position of subjugation, and they take that position very seriously. Here's the thing. When you start recognizing where somebody is, where they're positioned on the scale of liberty, it helps you understand how objective they can be. The further they go, like when you're talking to a communist, you're talking to somebody that cannot be objective. The only way they can be objective is they have to move away from their position. And 9 times out of 10, they won't, because they truly believe that. And once a person comes to the conclusion that force is okay, it's really hard to get that out. It's almost like once a person believes that sin is okay, it's hard for them to actually develop morals. They become the term moral turpitude, the void of morality becomes baked in. It's just the die is cast type of thing. Now, it's not that people can't change. People are capable of tremendous changes. And only, you know, it's kind of like that. My mother used to have a little card in the kitchen that said, only God knows how many apples are in a seed. So you don't know what a person's really potential and their capability is. God does, but we don't. And it's easy to recognize that person and write them off. And that's why on the scale of liberty, you don't write them off, because there is this acknowledgement that there's still this possibility that that person can change. As much as I would love to see Hillary, Bill Clinton, Obama, all of these corrupt, evil politicians, Soros, Gates, the rest of these elitists that are committing crimes against humanity, I would love to see them hang by a rope. But in doing so, we've denied them their opportunity to change and be the good that they can be. But when we have a system of laws, and that's one of the things, laws and government is instituted by men. And when you do have laws, you must live by them. Mercy is an important characteristic at the individual level, but in some ways you cannot bake mercy in at the societal level. It's just too hard. It's 9 times out of 10, people will take advantage. Even at the personal level, people will still take advantage. If they know you're a forgiving person, they know that they can get away with constantly offending you, hurting you, or what have you. I want you to understand these little factors, because what we're going to be getting into next is we're actually going to be moving, because we're basically done with the show. We're going to be moving this concept of the scale of liberty and these opposites and everything else. We're now going to be moving this into natural law. We're going to lay out natural law in our next episode so that we can, you know, help you understand what is natural law, because the framers built our system based upon it. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.